What we have to do is we have to change our system. So if you want to hear to God, back to how do I hear from God? How do I know? You have to learn a different intake system, which will eventually reprogram your system and enable you to hear from God. And that's not what people want. They're not up for the long-term work. God, you can't. God's not a genie in the bottle. I'm going to tell you exactly how to rub, and there it is. You boom. The way it works is you have to holistically change your spiritual game, and eventually it'll kick in. Eventually.
You're saying it's not the aggressive move, it's the aggressive stick-to-itness.
Yes.
Keep doing the same move over and right. over and over and over again.
Right. Welcome to The Aggressive Life. We don't just talk about aggressive moves here in the podcast. We do aggressive moves.
We do aggressive moves.
We try different things, and we're trying something different today. It's called One Question. It helps us to just speak deeper into something that comes up again and again. And I want to enable you to make aggressive moves. And one of the moves that people want to make, it's the number one question we get, is how do I hear from God? How do I listen to God? How I know God is saying something to me? Or how do I spend time with God? Man, this is a great question to start our year off. You know, there's this new thing. I didn't know it was new until I just got clued into it. And oh my gosh, does it freaking fire me up. I can't believe there's a new holiday called National Quitters Day. For real, National Quitters Day. It's the second Friday of every new year. And businesses are monetizing this because they're realizing that by then people quit their resolution. They quit whatever they wanted to do. And man, this is a horrible, horrible thing. I mean, if I was in business, that's it. Kind of smart. Makes sense to do that. Monetize something that people are already doing in their natural conscience. That doesn't really bother me, believe it or not. But what bothers me is just, it's become a cultural acceptable thing to say you're going to quit. In fact, if you're going to quit, why even change anything about your life? Why improve anything about your life? Why set any resolutions about your life? Because you're going to quit anyway. I know this is at least partially true. It's January 2nd. I'm going to leave from here and I'm going to work out. And I know it's going to be a horrible experience because it's going to be way more crowded than it's going to be at any other time of the year. And I'm going to have to deal with it until all the quitters finally quit. And I know they will quit because they will. They always do. And in the meantime, my time in the gym is going to be more frustrating because, hey, if this is you, the clue phone's ringing. It's for you. Listen to this news flash. Do not sit on the equipment and look at your phone. You want to look at your phone? Great. Stand up and get the hell off the equipment. Some of us are actually there to do something, not to sit on something. So don't freaking do a set and sit there and look at your phone. Let me work in with you. Or just get up and be on your phone for half an hour without hogging equipment. That felt good, Dirk, getting that.
A little therapy session today.
My gosh.
Yeah.
The sitting on the equipment and looking at your phone, that's an all-year
thing.
All
the time, yeah.
It's amazing, by the way, how few people actually sweat in the gym anymore. I think people are just going, I need a new place to go look at my phone. I know if I go work out, people think that I work out, but really what I'm doing is I'm wearing shorts inside and reading my phone.
Have you noticed the crowd thins out by like the third week of January?
No, it's not normally the third week. Okay. It does thin out by the third week of January, but the real thing probably takes place about two months in or so, something like that. And I start off being upset about it because like, who are these people here? What is going on? But then finally realize, no, this is a good thing. People are making commitments and they're wanting to do a new thing with their life, which is great. They're making an aggressive move, right?
They
show up.
That's right.
The problem is, and the reason why we don't make traction in our life is we think that the aggressive move is what changes our life. It's not the aggressive move. It's the aggressive move that means you keep moving in that area. And the reason why so many people are in the gym in the beginning, because one of the things that we feel that we want to change, that I want to change my body. I want to change my weight. I don't like X, Y, Z. So we go in to change it. And the problem is, on a cellular level, you can't change your body in the short term. The cells are structured in such a way, and this isn't just to talk about brain chemistry, the difficulty of changing with your brain chemistry, but your cell, on the cellular level, your body is structured to keep things the way they are right now. Mm-hmm. Your body is structured for predictability. And when you cut back on the calories, your body goes, whoa, we got
problem.
We got a crisis here.
Yeah.
We're not getting the 4,000 calories that we've been getting for a long, long time. We're only getting whatever it is, 2,500 to 3,000, 2,000, whatever it is. I mean, you've made commitments to back it down, so you back it down, but you don't see any breakthrough initially because physiologically, scientifically, your body thinks that it needs the 4,000 calories and all the fat that it has on it. So it stores the fat. It won't release the fat to fuel you. And so you got to go through a period of being aggressively faithful until your body goes, oh, this is the new norm. This is just the way it is. Okay, I understand it. It's kind of like, I think it was the chameleon. I learned this when I was a little kid. Someone brought in a little chameleon. And you know how much a chameleon will eat?
No.
Chameleon will eat whatever it has, whenever it has 2 days worth of food.
Huh.
If they have 1 day worth of food, they'll go, I can't eat that. I can't because this is crisis mode.
Wow.
If they have two,
then they'll eat.
I think that was, it's for sure a little lizard. I thought it was a chameleon. It was a long, long time ago. That was really shocking to me. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that with our body. Our body's like, whoa, I don't have enough here to go. I got to conserve, and my body cannot eat the fat that's here right now that's stored for such a reason as this. By the way, I haven't even gotten to the question yet, but I'm having fun because there is a link between the spiritual world and the physical world, right? Here's interestingly, Jesus says, I have food to eat from my Father of which you know nothing about. And what he's saying is, I'm dining and eating and consuming something that you're not consuming. So therefore, I'm stronger in a way that you're not strong. And you could be stronger, but you'd have to consume what I'm consuming. You could be stronger physically, but you would have to work out long enough and change your eating habits long enough to tell your system, oh, we can change here. We can change. If you ever watched any of the shows I love, Alone, there's another team one where they're in teams doing Alone. People who win those shows go in there chubby. Mm. It's not the skinny ones because the chubby ones have, and they intentionally, the ones who win, intentionally make themselves fat before they go in because they have fat stores.
To burn.
Yeah. I think of that a lot. Like, you want to have a six pack. Why?
You're not going to survive with a six pack.
You're not. You look really cool to some people. Other people, you look like you're just a narcissist. But you realize if the food chain gets interrupted at all, which it likely will, you're in crisis mode and you die first.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a reality.
Totally.
But what we have to do is we have to change our system. So if you want to hear to God, back to where we go, how do I hear from God? How do I know? You have to change your system. I cannot tell you. Here's what you do, and there you go. 5 minutes, you're going to get a message from God. That doesn't work that way. You have to learn a different intake system, which will eventually reprogram your system and enable you to hear from God. And that's not what people want. And that's why many people don't hear from God. They're not up for the long-term work. God's not a genie in the bottle. I'm going to tell you exactly how to rub, and there it is. You boom. God could do anything at any point, and you might have heard something from God in the last 45 seconds. You've heard nothing before. He could do that at all. But I'm just telling you my experience with him personally and the tens of thousands of people I've known and I've worked with. The way it works is you have to holistically change your spiritual game, and eventually, it'll kick in eventually. And as you holistically change your game, you know, it might be day one you feel something, but it's going to take a while. So that's the overarching thing. Now, let's get down a little more granular level. How do you spend time with God? How do you hear from God? The first thing I do is let's hear the time-tested things from God. That is the Bible. That's known as the Word of God because that's how God speaks. And as often as people try to tear it down, and more people have tried to tear down the Bible than any other book in the world, if a tenth of the people tore down the Quran as much as we do the Bible, well, number one, they wouldn't be alive because they would be killed, because you'd be like Salman Rushdie, right? Just a hit put on them. No one ever picks on the Quran. But we pick on the Bible, and yet it still stands. Why does it still stand? Because it freaking works. That's why. If you want God to speak to you, the first place to start is open up the Bible and read it. You're not going to understand everything that's in there. You're not going to like everything that's in there. But everything in there, in its proper context, works. And that's your biggest hit rate. So with the new year, I'll ask you this. If you believe that or you want to believe that, what is your plan? People, it's a cheesy thing, but it's very true. I'll say it if you've never heard it before. People don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. So this year you have to plan how you're going to hear from God. You have to have a system. Just like if you're going to work out and lose weight, you have to have a system. You can't just say, I'm going to work out and lose weight. I'm going to work out and gain muscle mass. Okay, how? What's your system? You've got to have a system for how you're going to hear from God. So that means, one, you have to have a Bible reading plan. It doesn't need to be read the whole Bible in a year. It doesn't need to be, just a plan. I think the best one out there, it's very simple. You can go to BiblePlan.org. I've been using it for years. Every year I set up a new Bible plan, and you can have it be as intense as the Shane reading plan, which I've done before, which is once through the Old Testament, twice through the New Testament, and I think twice through Psalms. Or you can have it be as simple as a chapter a day, and it will email to you, and you could choose what section of the Bible you want, and it will email to you every day at the time you want as a reminder, and you can then take that email and open up your own paper Bible, or you can actually click in the email and read the verse in the email. Actually, it takes you to, I think it's Bible Gateway or some such thing. So, or you could do another one is you could do my day job, Crossroads app. The Crossroads app is amazing. Every day there is a chapter in the Bible that's in it. And I most days journal on something in there and post my thoughts. I've been doing it for years, and thousands and 10,000 of other people do, and there's prayer requests and all that stuff. You can do that. So anyway, you got to figure out how you're going to spend time, how you're going to hear with God. Second thing, I think is a really big one too. You can't just say, I'm going to work out blank, but blank, but blank. You have to say, here's how I'm going to work out. I'm going to work out in the morning before I go to work. I'm going to work out at lunch. I'm going to work out before I go to bed. The best time to work out is the time you're working out. People say, what's the best Bible? The best Bible is the one you're reading. If you're reading it and you hang out, great, fine. So what's your plan? For me, it's the morning. What I do is it's the morning when I spend time with God. And I go to the same chair in the same room at the same time every morning. It's like when I sit in that chair, which I only use that chair when I'm trying to spend time with God, it's like I have muscle memory where my spirit says, oh, okay, this is God time right now. This is time to listen. So it's there. I read the Bible, and you can read the Bible, hear from God, and then have some sort of prayer system. There's a number of them out there that you can do, and you don't even have to do a prayer system. I think, again, you have to have a system. What is your system for prayer? Sometimes what I've done is I'm going to do a psalm each day, and psalms are somebody's prayers they put down on paper or parchment, rather. And you can read the psalms, and after every verse, you can pray that same verse and pray it. Pray that Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, I just recognize right now that you nurture me, you take care of me, and I shall not want. In fact, I think, God, I can't remember the last time I was, I've never been hungry in my life unless I've intentionally chosen to be hungry. I can't think of anything right now, God, that I need. You've met all my needs and just about all my wants. Actually, yes, all my wants. And there's some greeds that you haven't met. You've met my needs. You haven't met all my greeds. But man, I just want to recognize, Lord, that you are good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. See, I do this. I just go through and I pray. That's one thing. You can do the pray model, P-R-A-Y. P. You start with P and you just praise him. You talk to him. You say, God, I'm thankful for who you are, that you've met my needs, actually even met some of my greeds. I praise you that you are big. You are not me. You are beyond me. You are high and lifted up. You are wise. You are loving. God, you've given me immeasurably more than I could ever ask or think of. Why? Because that's in your nature. You are generous, and I praise you for that. I praise you that you're generous in your forgiveness, which is R, repent. In words where you just ask forgiveness and state the things that you've done that have been rebellious towards God. That's R. A, you ask things. You ever consider God wants to hear from you? God doesn't say, you know what? I haven't heard Dirt for a while. So now that he's asking something, whoo, Dirt's praying. Man, Dirt's praying. I better pay attention to now. Now, the reason why many of us don't ask is we have bad theology. We think that God's sick of hearing from us. He's not. I never get sick of hearing from any of my kids. And we also think that God has limited resources. He doesn't have limited resources. He has cattle on 1,000 hills. And we also think that if he doesn't say yes to what I ask, then it means that he doesn't love me, that I'm not important, that he doesn't care for me. No, sometimes, a lot of times, he doesn't do what we ask. It's just because it's not what he wants. Prayer isn't about getting what I want. Prayer is about getting what God wants. And part of what he wants is he does want to bless you. It's okay to ask for things that some people think are selfish. You can ask for things other than the poor children who are starving. What are those things you want to ask for? A spouse for your kids, or a kid, or a spouse, or a job, or a raise, or a ask. And then the final one, the most important one, after you've done that, this is the most important, P-R-A-Y, yield. Just sit there and be quiet. Yield. Maybe the most impactful book on prayer I ever read was called Seeing is Believing. The subtitle was Imaginative Prayer. One of those subtitles was by Greg Boyd. And Greg talks about how God has given us this mind that's the greatest multimedia experience that's ever been created. It's our imagination. Our imagination, we see things, we can relive things, and our imagination can be shifted and shaped, and things can come into us. I found that for me, God speaks with me most consistently through my imagination. There's an image that comes up. There's a thought that comes up. There's pictures, and I can use pictures. Like I can picture Jesus in my mind and talking with him, and I can just be silent before him and see what comes into my mind. And sometimes I think of various things or I get off track and I have to say, okay, did I get off track because I have a short attention span? If that's the case, let's pull it on back. Or as I get off track because God is putting my mind on that track because he is teaching me something and wanting me to think of something. When you yield and you're silent before God, God has the possibility to talk and to speak and to get your attention. Don't just go through your laundry list and don't just go through your Bible verses. Put yourself in place to listen and respond. And it's going to take time and it's going to take practice. Don't expect to do 50 push-ups or 20 push-ups right away. It takes time. And don't expect to discipline your mind and hear things from God immediately. It's going to take time. This is how you hear from God. This is how the spiritual greats are made. I want you to be a great starting in 2025. This has to be on your list. Let's get going. We'll see you next time on The Aggressive Life. Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and more at briantome.com. My new book, a 60-day devotional called The 5 Marks for Man, 60 Days to a Powerful Life, along with all the other books in the 5 Marks library, are open right now on Amazon. Be sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Then send an email to dirt, that's dirt, at briantome.com to get a free Aggressive Life sticker. Find more on Instagram at briantome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.